Today, the title to our message is Church Attendance Important. Before we begin, I'd like us to seek the Lord's blessing once more. Father in heaven, as we open up your holy word and study today, we must have your Holy Spirit to impress our hearts and our minds. Write your word on our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand the texts, the scriptures we're going to be reading today, and the gist of the sermon. Help us to glorify and honor you by everything that we study today. May we make application to our own personal lives and pray earnestly for those around us. And we thank you and we praise you for answering our prayers in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Okay, is church attendance important? If our dictionary is revised in the next few years, beside the entry for the word faithfulness, there could possibly be a note which reads, and I quote, "a once prized characteristic of human character, which is now extinct," unquote. And you might think that might be a bit ludicrous. But there's more truth to that statement than many realize. If faithfulness is not yet extinct in our culture, it is moving in that direction. It may not be dead, but brothers and sisters, it's getting rather sick. The characteristic of faithfulness is certainly one element that is missing in our society today. And churches suffer because of a lack of faithfulness. Unfortunately, faithfulness and words related to it, like commitment, loyalty, reliability, and integrity, are no longer considered as essential and important. You know, I remember back years ago when I was a young man, a boy, a handshake stood up in court as a legal contract. Today, even a contract on paper many times won't even stand up in court. Things have drifted quite a ways from the time when I was a young man. However, for us as believers, faithfulness is indispensable. It's very, very important. It's indeed the one characteristic which should mark Christians, because Christians are supposed to be faithful. And it should describe the Christian because it describes God. God is faithful. His children are faithful. Now, the scriptures call for the Christian to be faithful in many areas. But as we will see today, the scriptures also declare that we are called to be faithful to church. How are we to be faithful to church? Well, I'll tell you how. One of the most important ways is to attend regularly. I've spent many years in different churches. Many times I've sat as a member of the congregation having the same viewpoint and expectations as most of you have. And then there were many times where I saw something quite different from what you see each week. For many years I saw the church body through the eyes of a pastor. Let me tell you, it is quite different. And there's something I've noticed in every church I've attended. There are those who make a concerted effort to attend every possible service. These people are considered the core of the church and can be counted on for their attendance, their time, and even in their tithes and in their offerings. The church depends upon that core. I've also noticed in each church that there are those who attend every other week or once a month, or even once in a while. These people will find other things to do that will keep them out of church and are less committed to God or the church in their time and their attendance. These people are more involved in other things than they are in their church. My friends, a Christian has a biblical obligation to be faithful to attend church. People take Hebrews 10:25 lightly, but there's a great spiritual danger in forsaking the assembly. The Bible teaches that Christians are to meet together for public worship and for fellowship. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, Paul referred to it as a gathering together. A gathering. You don't just come to church to get a message from the Lord. You come to church to meet with Jesus. We have an appointment every Sabbath to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a blessing in which the Lord is present when His people gather together. And I can assure you that the Lord Jesus is here today through His Holy Spirit. As well as if our eyes could be opened, we would see angels all around us, good angels. This says in Matthew 18, verse 20, "But where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them." Thank you, Jesus, for being here today. So the question comes to mind, does attending church really make a difference? And if so, to whom does it make a difference? I'm of the opinion that it makes a very real difference to everyone. It makes a difference to the individuals involved and to the church. Because a church could use more of their talents. We need talents. God's people need to use the talents that He gives to them. Also to the community in which they could become another shining light. And even to God and His desire that we all become doers of the word rather than just listeners. God has planted this little church down here in this area to be a light all the way from Pelion, all the way over here to Lexington. Right on through Batesburg, Leesville, and down into Saluda. God wants the light on this group, this church, to shine so brightly, it'll be like a star shining on a dark night, a cloudless night. I think every Christian is obligated to attend every regular church service unless something unforeseen keeps them from it. Many people attend church sporadically and still claim that they're committed to the church or to the Lord. In my opinion, a person cannot be committed to the church unless they're willing to be at the church, and that means more than just once in a while. Many people are very lukewarm in their feelings toward the church, and therefore, they're also lukewarm in their association with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're serious about the Lord, we should also be serious about doing what He tells us to do. And He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In Hebrews 10:25, we read, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I want to tell you, I would be greatly encouraged the more I see these pews filled. The less they're filled, the less encouraged I am. Not only for me, but the other church leaders also. Your presence encourages each of us. Now in this one verse, Hebrews 10:25, we're warned to not stop meeting with other Christians. Now there are some who will only sacrifice enough of their time to attend one service a week. Once we get into the habit of missing church, it becomes easier to not attend other church functions. As you see the day approaching, now what day is referred to here? As you see the day approaching, what day? Well, it's the coming of Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And brothers and sisters, as we look out in the world and we listen to what's going on and we see what's happening, we see that the Lord must come soon. Crazy, crazy things are happening. The Bible is being fulfilled. These prophecies are fulfilling one after another very rapidly. And we're told the last events are going to be very rapid. We see things happening now like you wouldn't believe. I'd like to share some things with you, but I can't today. As we look and see that the Lord's nearing, faithfulness is going to be more necessary than ever. This is the time for people to stay in the church, not get out. When a person starts missing church, bad things start to happen. Have you ever noticed how long 2 hours in Sabbath school and church is, but how short it is when watching your favorite program on TV? And how thrilling it is when a ball game goes into extra innings, but how agitating it is when the church service goes 5 minutes longer than usual? You know that most people who have fallen away from going to church have done so not because they were let down or hurt while going to church, but they gradually started missing services until they finally found it too difficult to go at all. God knows that every time you attend a service, you're giving up something else. You give up sleeping late to be here Sabbath morning. You might also be giving up some project that you enjoy, or seeing a particular sports game that's on during the time of service. And for the prayer meeting, you might be giving up washing the car, or that favorite TV show, or the time to just to sit down and relax after a hard work. My friends, we want God to keep us safe for eternity, don't we? So how would we feel if God told us that He was just too busy to pay attention to things? He was more interested in other people than He was in us. Does that make us feel? I'm sure it would make us feel very, very badly. But what kind of message are many of us sending to God each week when we don't want to be inconvenienced enough to attend Sabbath school and church, and we sure don't want to come to feel obligated to serve in the church, either in time or in talent? God needs your talents. How do you think that makes God feel when we treat Him that way? That must hurt Him very, very much. After all, He loves us enough to have sacrificed His Son for us, and He thinks the least we can do is love His Son enough to sacrifice a little time to come and be there for the appointment that He makes with us. In the Bible, we're told many times to edify one another. Now, according to the dictionary, the word edify means to build up, to instruct, to enlighten, or to teach. That's what God wants us to gather together for. Do these things for others who might need them, and for us to receive them when we might need them. The Lord Jesus designs those who believe in Him to develop and become strong by association with one another. Romans 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." And Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do you need encouragement today, friends? I can tell you that I do. And I believe every single one of you do too. We have to encourage one another. That's so important. Simply put, God has commanded that we gather together and build each other up. And we cannot do that if we do not gather together. I know that most of you have been faithful to regularly attend church services, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm very thankful for every one of you. But every church I've been a member of had people who went so seldom that they didn't know many people, and the ones they didn't know well enough to be comfortable with when they went. What would happen? The enemy would make them feel that there was a good reason not to go to church. And some of them would fall for it. And God has given us another commandment too. In Matthew 6, verse 33, He told us to seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will be given to us. Okay. So Jesus tells us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness before anything else. Do we? Do we really? Or do we seek other things in our lives and then try to squeeze in a little bit of church time? I think we have all said, I just don't have the time to do everything I need to do. Well, even though we have said that, it's not really true. It's not really true. We may not have the time to do everything we would like to do, but we do have the time to do everything that we need to do. We get our needs and our likes mixed up. We need to get that priority in order. Going to church regularly is something we need to do. My friends, it all boils down to priorities. A man actually said that one of his chief priorities was getting enough sleep to be healthy. Well, we want to be healthy, don't we? And because he was so busy the rest of the week, the only time he could actually get that sleep was on Sabbath. I think we would all agree that his priorities were all wrong. Many people don't go to church on Sabbath morning and prayer meeting because of being so tired, and I can certainly understand that. But they will feel like going shopping or out to eat. And no matter how they feel, they'll get up and go to work the next day. I'm not saying they're being tired is not real, but I am saying that this clearly shows where church is in their list of priorities. They think more of their jobs than they do of God, their Creator. We read in Matthew 10, verse 37, where Jesus says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Well, let me ask you a question. Just who is your true family anyway? In Matthew 12, verse 47, someone came to Jesus as he was talking to a crowd and told him that his mother and brothers were outside waiting to talk to him. And listen to what Jesus said in verses 48 through 50. He said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." Friends, family is important. But Jesus is more important. Some people stay home when they have relatives visiting them, or when they're visiting relatives. Is that putting Jesus first? Do like Marianne and I do. If you have relatives over, invite them to go to church with you. If they decline, tell them you'll be home later, and then go to church. Be a witness. Be an example. God does not want us to turn our backs on our blood family, but He likewise does not want us to turn our backs on our church family. And He certainly does not want us to turn our backs on Him by forsaking the gathering together in church with our Christian family. So just how does going to church help us? Well, we get fed God's Word when we're in Sabbath school. We get fed God's Word when we hear the sermons in church. And we get fed the social graces when we associate with other Christians. We have something to share with each other. And even the hymns that we sing are designed to teach us to praise the Lord. The communion service helps to bring our hearts closer to Jesus. And the giving of tithes and offerings teach us to be obedient to the Lord's command and to leave off selfishness. Friends, everything in church is designed to grow us spiritually. All of us want to grow physically strong and healthy, don't we? Oh, yes. Our physical growth is dependent upon our diets, our lifestyle, isn't it? Likewise, if you feed yourself on the Word of God, you will grow spiritually, and the more you feed yourself, the more you will grow spiritually. Of course, if you do not feed yourself on the Word of God, you won't do much spiritually growing, will you? Those people who do not attend church regularly end up with spiritual malnutrition. They begin to be deficit in spiritual vitamins. That leaves them targets for temptation and sin. Now, I've never personally known any person who was a strong, faithful, and committed Christian who only attended church once in a while unless they were incapacitated or sick. People look at attendance as a joy and a desire. When I happen to miss because I'm sick or something of that nature, I really miss you. I miss Jesus, but I miss you too. My dear wife has been sick for 3 weeks, and she's able to be here today, and she says, I feel so lost that I'm not at church. Of course, there are those who have legitimate reasons for not being in church. But all of us would have to agree that these reasons are few and far between. By going to church faithfully, it helps us build ourselves up in Christ Jesus while allowing us to build others up around us in Christ also. Now, just how does going to church help the church? Ephesians 4:15 talks about how we grow in Christ, and verse 16 reminds us, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, the church family is held together by each one of us. We're a link together. We link arms together. And just as your body needs your heart to operate, the church needs her heart, you, the members, to operate properly and to be able to help, again, you have to be in church. Now, there are many ways in which to help a church grow, both deep and wide. I say wide and deep because a healthy church will grow in both directions at the same time. It'll grow wide as new members come into the church, and it'll grow deep as those new members become mature in the Word of God. Have you ever noticed how $100 looks so big when you take it to church, but how small it looks when you take it to the mall? One of the ways in which a church needs help is in your tithes and offerings. Churches do not get any of their services like gas, electricity, and so forth for free. We must pay for them just like we do at home. The difference is that the church services are generally much, much higher, and we need help from the congregation. And one of the hardest ways we have to give has to do with our money. And of all the things we have, that seems to be the hardest to let go of. And I can understand. Let me say that in my eyes, all of you are such a blessing to this church in many ways. All of you. I thank you. And I know that our Heavenly Father thanks you also. Just by the fact that you're here today as a blessing to me, it's a blessing to the Lord. It's a blessing to His holy angels. And it's a blessing to your guardian angel because your guardian angel is here with you. Now, to function properly, a church must offer both physical and spiritual services. We must have those who delight in taking care of the mowing of the grass, the cleaning of a church, and the other physical things. A church also must have those who delight in giving spiritually by teaching Sabbath school classes, watching over our young ones, our little ones, and singing, leading a song service, and many other areas. And to have all of these needs met, we must have people in regular attendance to serve for the Lord. Very important. Generally speaking, members who attend infrequently do little for the church. So attending church will build your commitment to the church, thereby building your desire to serve others within the church, and that helps the church grow spiritually as well as numerically. Now, next Sabbath is going to be a very high Sabbath in our church. It's the time when this little group is going to be officially made into a company. We are going to have a conference executive secretary come down, and he'll be organizing us into a company. We have to be a company before we become a church. We're still a church. I still call it our church. And we are a church. But the steps and organization our group first, that's what we are now, and a company next, which we will be next Sabbath, and then a church, which we hope will follow in its timing, God's timing. My friends, attending church will influence everyone. So come next Sabbath, it should be a high time, and bring someone with you. 1 Timothy 4:12 calls us to be an example for other Christians. Well, Matthew 5:14 says we are to be an example to the world. You are the light of the world, Jesus says, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. I do believe, given time, the whole city is going to know, all the cities around and the areas around here are going to know about this little church. I believe it with all my heart. Friends, faithful church attendance has other benefits also. It lets you set a very good example for newer Christians, visitors, and your own family. How do you think our visitors would feel if they came to church and there's only one or two people here? They think, well, this church is going to fail. There's nothing here for me. 1 Peter 2:12 admonishes us, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Just as you will end up influencing those around you, you will be influenced by those around you. Sounds like I'm talking in circles. Since it is your eternal life that hangs in the balance, don't you think it's best for you to associate with those in church and to be at church? Is it so important to always be ready for Jesus to come? Yes. It's also important to be ready whenever something important is going to involve you. And it is especially important when the most important thing in your life is going to happen. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, too many people will not be ready when Jesus comes back. They'll be so focused on their jobs, their hobbies, their problems, or their own desires that they will just miss out on going to meet Jesus. How do you think that'll make them feel when it dawns on them that they've missed out on Jesus because they were not ready to meet Him? What a sad day that's going to be. Matthew 24:44 warns us, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." That warning is repeated for us in Matthew 25:13, where He says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You know, brothers and sisters, we don't know if we're going to make it home safely today. I've seen a time when people left church and one person never made it home. And they never knew it was going to happen. But the best way to make sure you're totally ready is to be faithful and going to church and yielding your spirit to the Lord on a regular basis, moment by moment. As I already said, everything you experience in church is designed to bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to help you adjust your life to a more righteous existence. Why? Well, simply so that we can be ready to go when we least expect it. Attending both Sabbath school and church, the worship hour, as well as the Sabbath school, as well as a prayer meeting, contributes to that preparation, even if we don't realize it at the time. Also, going to church will ease your conscience, whether you're aware of it or not. If you slack off and miss church services, you have a guilty conscience. God does not want us to have a guilty conscience, because that will make you susceptible to the devil's lures. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself, unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" My friends, when you miss church services, knowing you should be there, you feel guilty, and feeling guilty will tend to harden your heart a little more each time you miss. And once our hearts are even a little hardened, we will find it that much easier to focus on what we want rather than on what God wants in other areas of our life also. Let me tell you what will happen to you when you miss a lot of church. And I'm going to take all of these principles out of the book of Hebrews. Number one, you will begin to drift. And you always drift downstream, not upstream. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul says, "Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." It really bothers me when I hear someone say, "I don't have to go to church to be a Christian." Friends, that is a downright lie that the devil wants you to believe, for it is open rebellion against God. Remember, you don't have to live in the water to be a fish either. Fish dies when he's outside the water. When people start missing church, they will drift away from God on their way out. Number two, you will doubt. People leave the church and blame others. But it is your own doubt and unbelief that gets you out, because for one reason, you've missed too much church. You're not feeding on God's Word. Number three, you become dull of hearing. You know, people don't listen to the preacher anymore. They don't listen to pastors much anymore. They've become dull of hearing because they've missed too much church and the world has crept into their lives. Number four, you will backslide. Backsliding begins by missing too much church. One cannot live a victorious Christian life with poor church attendance any more than a fish can live out of water. You need the church like the fish needs the water to survive in this godless world. Now, before I move from this point to number five, let me point out what the Bible says about Jesus and his attendance to the house of God. It says in Luke 4:16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the reading. Now, the word custom means a long-established habit, which is an action that a person has repeated so often that he just does it naturally and without even thinking. That desire, that describes Jesus, and I want to be more like Jesus. If Jesus thought it very important to go to church, so much more for us. If we love Jesus like we should, then it'll also be our custom or our habit to go to church. Now let me quickly mention three more ways on how to be faithful to the church, and I'll close. Number five, we should be faithful to defend our church. I'm convinced that the devil doesn't like the fact that this church exists. He would love to destroy this church if he could, because this church is a thorn in his side. It is a blockade to his progress. Our church has been and will be from now on against all that the devil is for. And he would love to see this house of God forsaken. Friends, we must be faithful. Faithful to attend our church and faithful to defend our church. Number six, we should be faithful to extend our church. We're to go out and bring others in. Jesus tells us in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. May I ask you, are you going out and inviting people to come to the house of God? Or do we come and sit down thinking, since we are there, we've done Jesus a favor? Number seven, last, we should be faithful to commend our church. Don't criticize your church. Love your church. The church is not perfect. As a matter of fact, it's a group of sinners who finally realized that they're nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ and have decided to do something about it. We should be faithful to attend our church. We should be faithful to defend our church. We should be faithful to extend our church. And we should be faithful to commend our church. Attend, defend, extend, commend. Yes, faithfulness is needed today in our attendance to the house of God. I'm thankful that many of you are very faithful in attending church, and I appreciate it very much. My friends, are you faithful in all that you do, or are you unfaithful? Let us always remember what Psalm 122, verse 1 says. He said in the Psalm, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I pray that that is the attitude of all of us here today. So let's ask the Lord now to give us that characteristic, okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we listen to that word today, we learned about we need to be faithful to attend our church. We should be faithful to defend our church. We should be faithful to extend our church by inviting others and commend our church. Lord, help us. Help us to surrender our hearts and our minds to you. And just if we have not been faithful, if we've not been faithful, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to determine by your grace that we're going to be from now on. We're going to make a resolution through the power of your Holy Spirit and by your grace that we're going to be faithful in church attendance. Help us, please, dear Lord, to do that. And Lord, may we give you our wills. And may we will to be faithful. And by faith, claim your power to carry it out. Because we ask it in the name of our precious Jesus. Amen.